I speak in the name of the risen one, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. Hallelujah, Christ is risen. Not bad. Not bad. Yes, we're still in the season of the resurrection of our Lord, the season of Easter. And we continue to use the Easter acclamation, not so much because we're trying to hold on to that initial excitement and the energy of Easter day when church is all decked out and more of us are worshiping God together than on an average Sunday, but because we're trying to remember what it means to be an Easter people. We're trying to remember what it means to be people of the resurrection. And these 50 days actually give us a little chance to think and to live as people whose lives have been and are being changed by the resurrected Lord who is present with us now. So often in life, we get involved in some activity, whether it's a church or any other part of our life, and we begin as people who are very clear about what we are about and why we are doing what we are doing and why we're living the way we're living. But after a while, we usually get comfortable, or we get used to what we're doing, or we may get so caught up in the details of some secondary activity that we actually forget the original spark. We forget the original purpose that so fed us and helped us to feed others. Bishop Dan Daniel loves to tell a story about the church cat in the first church he served in North Carolina. Every Saturday morning, the altar guild would gather to prepare for Sunday worship. They would polish the brass and silver, lay out the hangings and the linens, and get the bread and wine together for Sunday communion. And at this church, they also put out a bowl of milk on the back step at the sacristy door. Bishop Daniel, young and dumb at the time, as he said about himself, always came to be with them to get to know them better and understand what it meant for the altar guild to do their work. And he says he was very attentive to their work and to their lives, but he became very interested in this church cat. But after 6 months, he realized that he had never seen the church cat and that the milk was still there on Sunday morning on that back step untouched. Finally, he asked a member of the altar guild about the milk and the church cat, and she stopped what she was doing and smiled and said, "Oh, we've always put out that milk." "But where is the cat?" Dan would ask. She responded, "Oh, that cat died 10 years ago. Remembering what we are about in any endeavor is a constant challenge for us as individuals and us as a group, it seems to me. And we have to hold on to that original formative inspiration as we grow and mature and fulfill and change in our callings. I was talking to a good friend last fall about a social group that he had been part of for 25 years and how the group was dying off and moving away. What started out as a group that included over 500 people meeting monthly for dinner and conversation at 20-plus locations had diminished in size to less than 40 people who met twice a year. The original intent of the group was to get to know people in the community, and everyone and anyone was welcome to come and participate. But over the years, they got so comfortable with one another, they stopped inviting people. And as a result of losing their original focus of trying to build community with new people and all people, the original enterprise was basically extinguished. It's important to remember what we're about as we live our lives. For us as Christians and as a Christian community, if we're going to flourish and be the resurrection people God is calling us to be, we must always keep Christ's original purpose in mind. Which leads us to the gospel story this morning. A lesson about remembering what it means to be a resurrection people. A lesson about remembering so that we can live the Christian life and be God's agents, God's partners in ministry here at St. David's and in the world. When we last heard from Peter and the first followers of Jesus, they were having this encounter with the risen Christ in that upper room that was locked. And there Jesus breathed on them the Holy Spirit and sent them out to preach the gospel. It's pretty heady and important stuff. The kind of experience that you really get his followers going and get them out into the world proclaiming the love and forgiveness and power of God to overcome death itself. I mean, I would hope if the resurrected Lord walked into the chapel this morning in bodily form, A few of us might be inspired to live the Christian life a little bit more and to share that life with others, don't you think? So with this life-changing, life-giving experience, we find Peter and some of the other first followers off fishing. They're back to the life that they knew before, doing everything but what Jesus had asked them to do. Now, you may say that's a little harsh, Frank. Maybe they needed a vacation after all the trauma of Holy Week. I know a lot of clergy do. Maybe they needed time to put their plans together, and fishing was just that mindless activity that would allow them to think and be creative before they started preaching the gospel. I don't know, and I don't mean to sound too judgmental, but apparently Jesus wants something else from them, and he comes to them again. First, he points out where the fish are on the lake, since they haven't caught anything. And that's a common practice on the Sea of Galilee, to have someone on the shore pointing to where the fish are, and they catch 153 large fish. Then after eating together, Jesus takes Peter aside to restore him. Peter had denied Jesus three times the night before Jesus was crucified, and now Peter gets to tell Jesus that he loves him three times, an incredibly clear sign of God's graciousness and his forgiveness for us. And Jesus also takes Peter aside to remind Peter and others and us about this big idea, about God's original plan. If you love me, he says, feed my sheep. If the resurrection means anything to you, then feed my sheep, feed my people. Remember, Jesus is the one who called Peter and the other first followers to leave their fishing nets, and he would teach them to catch people. He would 3 years they watched him draw all kinds of people to him, teaching them about the life with God, healing them, restoring them, forgiving them, welcoming them into a community with others. And now with Jesus resurrected and alive and out there in the world with them and with us, the call to fish for people and to draw others to the love of God has a power and presence that could give real life to the world. That's Jesus' original plan. And that's the plan that Peter and the other men and women took up as the focus of their lives. And 500 people within 70 years becomes hundreds of thousands of people who are living in the way, who are living as Christians. And you and I are here this morning because they and others have caught us. They and others have fed us with the love and the grace and the promise of God in our lives. But unless we remember that this is our focus, our important inspiration, then we as a faith and we as a church are going to lose our focus, and someone or something else will take our place, because it is critical that we stay with the original plan and live in that way. You know, we're living in a time in our nation where too many of us are not part of a community. Some of it has to do with the technological connections that we have on our phones and computers, and we think that that's enough. And some of it has to do with the fact that we're living in a time when people just aren't joining in. They're not interested in building something together or being part of something beyond themselves. In 1995, a sociologist named Robert Putnam wrote an essay and later a book called Bowling Alone in America. Even that many years ago, Putnam noted that America is losing connection and has stopped joining in for a lot of reasons, and thus the title, Not Bowling with Others, but Bowling Alone. And what is affecting all of our society is also affecting church, as people are choosing not to join in, and that's sad, and that's challenging. It's sad because you and I are made for community, and a Christian community can make a difference in the lives of others, from the fact that God is present with us to when someone we know and love dies, we know that they are still alive by the grace and goodness of God. And it's also challenging because so many churches are being affected by dwindling attendance and people not knowing the love and grace in God for their lives, that there seems to be a greater sense of lostness. But over the last 6 months, a very large number of families and couples and individuals have come to St. David's Church and signed our little newcomers card, or they've gone to the newcomers table. And that doesn't count the number who slip in and out of here without signing up. Or they come here and they've left because this is not their cup of tea. They were looking for something different, or because we didn't welcome them here. If you don't remember the first time you came to St. David's Church, and the singular act of courage that took, let me remind you, it is hard to walk into a new church. It is hard, no matter how welcoming or inspiring it may be to a new person. It's hard to come to church, and getting harder for a lot of people who've never been to church and don't even know that they're welcomed here. And how these persons God has sent us here are treated by you and by me goes a long way towards whether they're going to find this as their spiritual home. It goes a long way in determining if the Spirit who led them here will catch them up in the mission and ministry of this place and allow them to be fed by God here and to know that they are loved and called by God and in turn to feed others as you and I have been called. For if Christ is risen from the grave and alive and in our midst today, and I believe he is, then we have an opportunity to share that with others by our words and by our deeds. So let me invite you, and let me challenge you to remember what we're all about, to remember what God's original intention for living and drawing people to the Christian life. We're about fishing, and we're about feeding. And the next time you see someone here that you don't know, say hello. Share your story about God in your life, and listen for theirs. Allow God's plan to work in all of us for the life of St. David's and for the life of the world. God is calling us to be fed by God in our lives, and God is calling us to fish and to feed the people here and the people he is sending us and everyone we meet. And God wants us to remember that in all that we do. And remember, he is with us always. Amen.